Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you were paying attention to the euro area economy in, say, late 2021 and through 2022, you definitely remember the chaos.
Oh, absolutely. Just a whirlwind, wasn't it? Energy prices going through the roof, the pandemic's after effects still lingering, supply chains all tangled up.
And central banks starting to get pretty vocal about inflation.
Right. And in response, you had governments, especially in the big four euro economies, basically hitting the emergency button.
Yeah, showering the system with subsidies, tax cuts, price discounts, all aimed at softening that cost of living blow for people.
Exactly. It was this constant stream of announcements. And that's what we're digging into today. Not just, you know, did the policies work in terms of cash in pockets.
Right.
But how did that avalanche of news, those government announcements, actually shape what people believed about the economy? We're talking about the information effect.
The signaling channel, as the researchers call it. Like, how does hearing about a new energy subsidy on the news instantly change your gut feeling about inflation or jobs?
Precisely. And we're focusing our whole deep dive today on one really specific, very clever piece of research that tackles exactly this.
Okay, so let's get the formalities out of the way. Time for the mandatory content readout.
You got it. The paper is called Fiscal Announcements and Households' Beliefs: Evidence from the Euro Area.
And the authors.
It's by Jose Elias Gallegos, Esteban Garcia Miralles, Ivan Katarinyuk, and Susana Paraga Rodriguez.
Great. And can you give us the quick version, the abstract summary? What was their core mission here?
Sure. So the paper looks at these expansionary, price-focused fiscal measures. Think subsidies, tax cuts in France, Germany, Italy, and Spain.
The big four.
The big four. And they cleverly use the timing of the announcements compared to when households actually answered survey questions.
Okay.
What they find is right after an announcement, people's perception of current inflation goes up, but their perception of unemployment goes down.
Yeah.
And that drop in perceived unemployment actually sticks around in their short-term expectations about jobs.
Interesting. Higher perceived inflation, lower perceived unemployment.
But, and this is really key, their expectations about future inflation, like 12 months or 3 years out, basically don't budge, which suggests people saw these price pressures as temporary, not some permanent shift. And the authors argue this points to a really strong signaling channel, which they then explore using a new Keynesian model with some bells and whistles like information frictions.
Okay, that abstract sets up a fascinating puzzle, doesn't it? The government tries to help with prices, but the announcement makes people think current inflation is worse, yet they feel better about jobs? How do you even start to untangle that?
Yeah, it seems contradictory at first glance. And the only way to tackle it credibly, especially during that incredibly noisy period of 2021, 2022.
Everything was going haywire.
Exactly. You needed a super precise method to isolate the effect of just the announcement, like separating it from all the other economic news hitting people that same week.
So how did they pin down that causal link? Because just looking at month-to-month changes wouldn't work, right?
Yeah.
Too much other stuff happened.
Absolutely not. That would be way too messy. They use something called a regression discontinuity design, or RD for short.
Okay, RD design. Sounds technical. What's the basic idea?
The idea is actually pretty intuitive. They basically found a natural experiment. They took advantage of the fact that people fill out surveys on different days within a month.
Oh.
So they could compare the answers of households who finished the survey just before a big fiscal policy was announced.
Literally moments before it hit the newswire.
Yes, or at least on the day before versus the day after. And they compared them to households who filled out the same survey just after the announcement became public knowledge.
Got it. So the only real difference between those two groups, ideally, is that one group got the news and the other didn't, right before they answered questions about the economy.
Exactly. It's like catching people right at that inflection point. The timing of the survey completion is sort of random relative to the announcement date. They used microdata from the ECB's Consumer Expectations Survey, the CES.
That's a big data set, isn't it? Monthly surveys.
Yeah, a monthly panel survey, really detailed, covering those four big economies, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, from April 2021 up to early 2023. And they looked closely at about seven different belief variables, but the main ones were perceptions and expectations about inflation and unemployment.
Okay, that covers the belief side of things.
Right.
What about the announcements themselves? They needed a reliable list of what was announced and when.
Right. This was another big piece of work for them. They actually compiled a new narrative data set. They identified 50 specific expansionary measures related to prices. So think indirect tax cuts, subsidies, those kinds of things.
Where did they get that info? Just press releases?
Not just that, they built it up using a confidential data set from the European System of Central Banks, the ESCB. So it was pretty comprehensive, focusing on those concrete price-related actions.
But the timing is everything for that RD design, isn't it? Did they just take the official date the government put on the press release? Because sometimes news leaks.
Ah, you've hit on a crucial point. No, they didn't just trust the official date. This is where their method gets really rigorous, I think.
Okay.
They knew that the official announcement date might not be when the information actually hit the public consciousness, right? Think leaks, news reports ahead of the formal statement.
Yeah, happens all the time.
So they cross-validated every single announcement date by looking for spikes in Google search activity for keywords related to that specific policy.
Wow. Okay, so they looked for when people actually started frantically Googling energy subsidy Germany or whatever it was?
Exactly that. They wanted to pinpoint the moment the news actually landed with the public, when the collective antenna went up, you could say.
That's clever. Did it make much difference?
It did. In about 20% of the cases, they found the Google search spike happened roughly 3 days before the official documented date.
3 days. So people were reacting well before the official rubber stamp.
Precisely. So they adjusted their cutoff date for the RD analysis to match that Google search spike. That way, they were really capturing the instantaneous information shock, separating it from maybe a later, more formal confirmation.
That level of detail gives you confidence in the results.
Yeah.
So, okay, they've got this super precise setup. What did they actually find? What happened in people's heads the moment that announcement hit?
Well, it was this really interesting kind of two-sided reaction. First, right away, people revised their perception of current inflation upwards.
Upwards. Wait a minute. The government announces help for my bills, and I think inflation right now is higher. That feels backward.
It does seem counterintuitive, doesn't it? But think about the signal. The government wouldn't be rolling out these big, often emergency measures unless the current situation was already pretty bad, right?
I see. So the announcement itself is like a giant flashing sign saying, warning, inflation is serious right now.
That seems to be the interpretation, yeah. The news itself highlights the severity of the current price environment. But, and this is the crucial other side at the exact same time, households revised their perceptions of current unemployment downwards. They felt the job market was stronger.
Okay, so prices are bad, but jobs are okay.
Pretty much. And that optimism about jobs wasn't just a fleeting thing.
It lasted. How long?
Well, it clearly fed into their short-run expectations. They found that the expected unemployment rate for 12 months ahead dropped significantly by about 0.24 percentage points immediately following an announcement.
Wow. So the message received was sort of, things are tough on the price front now, but the government's got our back, and the job market looks pretty solid for the next year.
That seems to be the takeaway. They felt more secure about employment, even amidst the inflation shock.
The job security piece is huge, isn't it? That influences spending, confidence, everything.
Absolutely. But then there's the other big question. What about future inflation? Did people see all this government spending and worry it would just fuel more inflation down the line? And that brings us to what the paper calls the crucial non-finding. This is maybe the most important result for policymakers.
Okay, what didn't happen?
Despite that immediate jump in perceived current inflation, they found NO statistically significant effects on inflation expectations further out, not for 12 months ahead, and not for 3 years ahead either.
So people thought, okay, prices are high now, government's acting, jobs are safer, but this isn't going to cause runaway inflation long term.
Exactly. It suggests they saw the underlying cause of the inflation, maybe the energy shock, supply chains as temporary, or at least something the authorities could eventually handle. They didn't seem to view the fiscal support itself as a driver of persistent inflation.
They didn't unanchor their expectations. That's huge for central banks, right?
Yep.
It means fiscal policy wasn't necessarily making their job harder in the long run, at least in terms of public perception.
Precisely. It suggests households maintained some faith in the overall stabilization framework, whether that's monetary policy or, in this context, the fiscal response being seen as appropriate crisis management, not, you know, reckless spending.
Okay, so we have these nuanced findings. Higher perceived inflation now, lower expected unemployment, but stable expected future inflation. How did the researchers make sense of all that? They use a model, right?
They did. To really interpret why the announcement had these specific effects, especially the signaling part, they turned to theory. They used a general equilibrium New Keynesian model, or NK model.
The standard workhorse, but with some tweaks.
Yeah. They extended it to include things like involuntary unemployment. So not everyone who wants a job has one. And really importantly, information frictions.
Information frictions, meaning people don't know everything perfectly.
Exactly. The model basically assumes the government has a clearer picture of the economy's underlying health than regular people, households, firms, unions. We all have sort of noisy, imperfect information.
All right, we're just trying to piece things together from the news and our own experience.
So when the government makes a big, visible policy move, like announcing a subsidy package, we interpret that action as a signal. It's not just the policy itself. It's information about what the government knows or intends.
We're trying to read the tea leaves in the announcement.
You could put it that way, yeah. And the model helps explore how people might do that. Specifically, it includes a fiscal rule where the government tries to stabilize inflation using taxes. The fact that the empirical results, higher perceived inflation now, lower expected unemployment, line up well with what the model predicts under demand-driven dynamics is telling.
Meaning, people interpreted the government's action as supporting overall demand in the economy.
It suggests they did. They saw the government stepping in and thought, okay, they're propping things up, the economy won't completely tank, demand will hold up, so jobs are probably safer. They seem better informed, or at least react more strongly to perceived demand-side news.
Which leads us to the really cool part, I thought, the counterfactual. What the model allowed them to do.
Ah, yes, the what-if scenario. This is where the power of the signaling channel really hits home.
So they asked, what if the government did the exact same policy, say, cut VAT, but did it silently? No big press conference, no headlines. Just the pure economic effect of the tax cut itself, strip away the announcement.
Exactly. They isolated the pure macroeconomic impact within their model. And what happens?
What happened?
Without the signal, the pure fiscal shock, which in the model is a bit like the government spending less or taxing less, potentially withdrawing some demand, actually creates pessimism.
Pessimism. So the policy itself, without the announcement fanfare, would make people expect inflation to fall and unemployment to rise.
That's what the model suggests, yes. People might interpret the quiet tax cut as a sign that demand is already weak, the economy is struggling, hence lower inflation and worse job prospects ahead.
Wow. So the announcement, the information, completely flips the script. It takes something that might otherwise be seen as a sign of weakness and turns it into a sign of strength and commitment, boosting job optimism.
Precisely. The signaling channel isn't just a small effect. According to their analysis, it's driving the bulk of the positive belief changes they observed in the data. It completely overrides the potentially dampening effect of the pure fiscal shock itself.
That's incredible. It really underscores that how you communicate policy can be almost as important as the policy itself, especially in a crisis.
Absolutely. The announcement date becomes this moment of huge informational impact, shaping how people feel and likely how they'll behave, often long before the money actually flows or the tax cut shows up on a receipt. Fiscal policy becomes a powerful information device.
Okay, let's try and boil this down for everyone listening. What are the absolute core takeaways from this deep dive?
I'd say there are two main things. First, these big fiscal announcements aren't just noise. They are a really significant source of macroeconomic information for households, at least in the euro area during this period.
They move the needle on beliefs instantly.
Instantly. And second, that information shock primarily works by shifting perceptions of the current situation, making people see current inflation as higher, but also making them much more optimistic about the job market outlook, both now and in the near future.
And crucially, as you said, without messing up their long-term inflation expectations, which is good news for stability.
Right. It suggests policymakers need to think really carefully about the announcement itself, the timing, the framing. That signaling effect, especially the optimistic kick for the labor market, seems to be a dominant force that shapes confidence way before the policy's direct economic effects are felt.
So that leaves us with a final thought, something for you, the listener, to chew on. We saw that these announcements generated significant optimism about jobs, likely because they signaled government support for demand. So, thinking ahead to future crises, how could governments maybe fine-tune their communication? Could they design announcements specifically to maximize that job market confidence, that signal of stability?
While maybe minimizing the side effect of making people think current inflation is even worse than it is, could clever framing harness the positive signal without amplifying the negative perception?
It's a tricky balancing act, isn't it? Using the announcement as a tool to manage expectations effectively. Definitely something to think about next time you see those big policy headlines roll out.
A real communication challenge for policymakers.
Indeed. Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hope you feel a bit better informed about how these things work. Until next time.